Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Talking Early Years, our podcast where we bring together the most interesting people to talk about issues to do with children. Today, I have the great honour of having Leslie Udwin as my guest, and she is the founder and executive chair of Think Equal. And I'm going to leave it at that because I really want Leslie to tell her story as to how she became a founder, because she has a most interesting background. Leslie, over to you. Tell us all about you.
Thank you so much, June. And I'm thrilled to be here on your very important and powerful podcast. So all about me. Well, I'm an outsider in terms of having come in very late in life to the whole education arena. I was an actor first, then a producer, then a director, most of my life a filmmaker. And I made films like East is East, which some of our... Yes, yes. Oh, thank you, June. I'm very proud
That's
of that.
That's a great film.
I call that my first born film because it was literally the first feature film I ever made. Before that, however, I made a television film, which, judging by your accent, you will have known about this case, even though you look too young to me to have been around at the time, but I certainly wasn't. And it's do you remember that horrific miscarriage of justice perpetrated by the British government and the British judiciary? Both, because it was a massive cover-up, the Birmingham Six.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So I certainly remember that.
Worked with Granada TV and HBO and indeed persuaded Granada to do the drama documentary of that case. I was so convinced that these men were innocent and should not have been in prison. And it was a film called Who Bombed Birmingham with John Hurt, my first TV film as a sole producer, as it were, and that film led to their release from prison after 17 years of wrongful imprisonment. And the day after the screening of that film, Margaret Thatcher stood up in the House of Commons. It was my proudest moment ever. She said, "We will not have trial by television in this country." And trial by television, I'm happy to tell you, is exactly what we had. And at last, they got released from this horrific miscarriage of justice. But the last film I made and shall ever make is a film called India's Daughter. And in the course of making this film, I sat in prison cells in a high security jail in Delhi, Tihar Jail, and I interviewed the rapists and murderers of the young girl, Jyoti Singh, 23-year-old medical student who was on that bus. You remember that horrific case?
I do indeed. Yeah. Wow.
Brutal in the extreme. And I went to India to make this film for a number of reasons, primarily because I was so impressed by Indian men and women pouring out onto the streets and saying, "We're not going to have our women violated in this way anymore." And I had been raped at 18 in South Africa. And I thought, oh, my God, I've never seen such astoundingly courageous and beautiful human beings in my life than that Indian public that went out, you know, to demand justice, not just for a day, June, not just for a week. Over a month, they kept going out onto those streets in waves of protesters. But when I got there, I thought there's only really one point in making this film, and that is if I can really find out what kind of human beings do this to another human being. Mm-hmm. And in short, what I found out has changed my life forever. I shall never make another film as long as I live. And I'm quite categoric about that because films can only lead to awareness. And I say, do we need any more awareness than we already have? That until and unless we prepare our children in their earliest years, this is where it's utterly critical. What is wrong with us, June? We know that the early years are the gateway to sustainable human development. We know that 90% of the human brain is fully developed. The adult brain, fully developed by the age of five, 90% of it. What are we playing around with? How negligent How irresponsible can we be as a government, as policymakers, the education ministry and department of this country? What are they playing at? The very window of opportunity that we have to support our children, to give them the tools to cope with the mental health disorders. One in six of our children right now, today, are suffering, not just depression. We all know this. It's mental health disorders. And they've never been given the tools to deal with this. You can't suddenly leap in at the age of 12 or 10 or 8 and say, I mean, at that point, I'm not saying you can't help. Of course you can help. But at that point, you need trillions of pounds. You need therapy. You need many, many years at your disposal. And you better be bloody well patient, right? Whereas if you go in between the ages of 3 and 6, you can, as we do with Think Equal, which is the NGO that I am giving the rest of my life to, not just that, my every waking breath is given to this mission, which is the long overdue system change in our archaic, absolutely irresponsible and negligent education system. And I learned all of that in those prison cells because those men are no different from human beings all over the world. And I'm not just talking gender, okay? For the moment, of course, that film was seen through a gender-based lens. Let's look at gender. In the UK, 1 in 3 girls between 13 and 17 has experienced sexual violence. So what do we think we're immune from, right? We dare not point fingers at others and say this sort of thing happens over there. It happens in every single country in the world. I am one of those women who are the statistics of 1 in every 5 women have been raped. 1 in 3 women have experienced sexual or other gender-based violence. I mean, this is the world over. And we're not bothering to tackle the problem at its root. And the only way we can tackle it at its root is to do what we're doing with Think Equal, which is co-create pro-social neuropathways in the developing brain. But this has to be done, I have to say, in a particular way, prescriptively, with, you know, we teach 25 competencies and skills because, and gender, by the way, is only 1/25 of those. We do this because we are giving a foundation for social justice. It's not just about psychosocial well-being, social emotional learning. It doesn't stop at mindfulness and making children know how to feel happy and relaxed. What about gender equality? What about racial equality? What about environmental stewardship and peaceful conflict resolution? So I'm so sorry. I talk so much and so fast. And I'm going to pause now because you may want to say something. I'm so sorry. I always end up apologizing when I talk because I'm so driven and so full of this. I can't. I'm like a train hurtling towards a particular shore and destination. Forgive me, everyone who's listening. Forgive me.
No, they mustn't forgive you because it's the kind of thing we need. We need energy and passion. And I'm glad that other voices are out there, not just yours and mine. I would challenge you to say, you talk about 3 to 6-year-olds. I talk about 6-month-olds. So I think the shift starts 6 months old. And our whole model at LEAF was designed to give those children access from the earliest age. But you're quite right. The fact that the DfE spends merely 5% of its budget on the early years.
Disgusting.
Is just criminal. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's. And we've had, I think we've had 11 separate ministers and none of them, what some of them have done is undo the damage of the one before and try and fix it up, you know. But actually none of them have really come in and really understood where to put to leverage the real shift and change that's necessary, because everything seems to be focused in the lens of their own ideologies. And I think I've been doing this for 20 years now.
Yeah.
And I started LEAF in 10, well, more than 10 years ago now. So 2004-05. And that was my idea. And then by 2008-09, we had it operating as a social enterprise. And people come from all over the world and say, this is an amazing idea. And you can demonstrate higher quality, a more accessibility, more affordability, yeah, all that sort of stuff. Yet here in this country, they can't see it at all. They cannot see it. You can't be a prophet in your own land for absolute certainty. So how do you think you're going to what do you think is necessary, and how do you think you're going to really kind of kick it into touch so we get some a real kind of systemic change beginning to roll over, and we bring with it the crazy mixed weird market-based approach we've currently got to delivering childcare in this country?
Right. So look, a lot of questions there. And before I even begin to answer those, I just want to say one thing. I couldn't agree with your earlier comment more. We should be starting, not even at 6 months, we should be starting at
in the womb.
However, the reason I say at three is because a child's identity doesn't start forming till three. Identity in the sense of as a social creature, and moral compass is critical. You see, I'm looking at it from the point of view of social justice. I'm looking at it from the point of view of smashing discriminatory mindset, racism, selfishness, etc. So we could go in at 6 months, but we can't actually. The skills, the development level of the child is not then able to connect with the precise thing we're trying to do there. Okay, so programs in very early childhood, critically important. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Right. One thing I want to start with in looking at, you know, what is it about the UK system? Look, it's not just the UK system. I have to tell you, in the US, the system is even more fractured, right?
There is a sort of disease,
a disease that has been going on worldwide that has seen early childhood with patronizing, sentimentalized, weak eyes as a time for play and a time for not teachers, but babysitters. And because this is mixed up in this lethal cocktail of us being taught that the purpose of our lives is accumulation of wealth, which is the other big problem of this world so bent upon catastrophe that we live in. Because of that, nobody has ever taken seriously what already exists, which is 60 plus years of a wealth of neuroscientific evidence. They claim to be interested in evidence, and this is the thing that really freaks me out, I have to tell you, about our education ministry, or the DOE, right? Because I have spoken to people there. I have tried to persuade them. I think there are a number of barriers here. Number one is simple apathy and indifference. These are not people who are going to be voting until, another 13 or so years, or 14 or 15 years have passed. And somehow there's this kind of sense of, it's going to take too long to see any results or whatever. That plus, the world is so despicable a place now in terms of, you know, the degree of the developmental emergencies that we are in. Look at the wars. Look at the, you know, the refugee crisis. Where do you even begin? The climate. So what happens is people have lost hope. They're in despair. They think this is too big. We can't solve this. Yes, we bloody well can. And we can not only solve it, but we can solve it immediately. We can solve it cheaply, replicably, and scalably. And I know this because the program that I have been so lucky and privileged to have world experts like Sir Ken Robinson, who was our founding patron, who pored over the materials with me, who has written one of our books, the two co-founders of the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence, Dr. Mark Brackett, Dr. Robin Stern, Vicky Colbert from Colombia, world experts from all over, Dr. Urvashi Sani, an expert at empowering girls through education, neuroscientist Richie Davidson, who is a genius on brain development, right? And we have a part of a program he has given us, which we then together made age appropriate and lowered in age, which he co-wrote with the Dalai Lama. You don't get better programs than that, okay? So this program is masterful because of who has helped pull it together. And I can tell you, it transforms children from antisocial attitudes and behaviors to pro-social, loving, empathetic, kind beings who are critical thinkers and problem solvers and have self-esteem and all of that, Not within the 3 years of our programme. We have three age-appropriate levels for preschool, reception, and in this, the first class here. In some countries, we start at five, etc. But this is happening within 4 months, within 5 months. We are in 20 countries around the world, and not just developing countries. We're in Australia. We're now in America. We're partnering with the National Head Start Association. So they did get there before Britain or before the UK, right?
Yes, true.
Come on, UK. You cannot be this criminally negligent with our children. We have to do our duty of care by them. You cannot simply prepare them for a labour market that no longer exists. Even there, they are failing. But how can it be compulsory for our babies and our kids and our vulnerable young citizens to learn numeracy and literacy, and optional for them to learn how to value themselves and other human beings? Why is it that the number one killer of our young men in the UK is suicide? Because we haven't given them the tools to deal with it. And when I sat with those rapists and murderers in those prison cells, I knew that we had taught them to think as they think, just as we are teaching our children in this country to grow up to be racist, to grow up to be rapists. 75% of the girls in our classrooms are being sexually harassed. I mean, we are beyond the pale until and unless we start immediately now to rectify the situation. So what are we doing, you asked, to get there? Currently, we're in 200 classrooms in the UK. So that's a start, right? We're fully funded to give this program to every classroom, every early years classroom in Tower Hamlets. And we've been working with two amazing women at the Tower Hamlets Council, Fran and Charlotte, who have helped us. We're so far with half the classrooms in the whole of Tower Hamlets. We're in a third of the classrooms in Kensington and Chelsea. We're in Peterborough with our marvellous partners, Bounce Forward. We are working with the Whole Education Foundation, giving this programme to another 50 classrooms. We've just had an amazing philanthropist called Jackie Goff, who has funded 50 other classrooms. Now, we can't be funding philanthropically the UK. It's an outrage. It's a disgrace. Do you know what this programme, Think Equal, costs to transform a child for the rest of their lives?
No.
As a one-off cost, June, it's the same as one school meal for one day. I'm not kidding you. We're a charity. We don't charge. We charge at cost. Whatever it costs us to print the materials, to provide the resources, is what it costs. It costs to give this child to every single 3 to 6 year old child in the whole of England, costs exactly the same as it is currently costing this government to incarcerate and pay the prison costs of just 88 violent offenders. And we will be touching and transforming the lives of 660,000 children for that same money. And because Think Equal is a one-off cost and you don't have to pay for the next 10 years, once the teachers are trained, they have the digital training pack so that if they leave, others can be trained. They have all the resources. They will last a minimum of a decade because they're very hardy, right? And so that 660,000 kids is actually 6.6 million kids over the next decade for the same price. It's also three times the cost of the lifetime incarceration, which we're now paying for, of one man, Wayne Cousins. Three times what we are paying to incarcerate him will give this to 6.6 million English children. What on earth are we playing at? Who? What are we doing? It's insane. It's a disgrace. One more stat, forgive me, I have to. It's just so mind-blowing, I have to tell you this. It's also equal to 0.037% of what the government is currently spending this year, i.e. in the 2020 year, what it spent on mental health. £150.2 billion, one in six of our kids suffering. And it would cost 0.0375%. Now, I think we should be out there. Every parent in this country should be screaming. You know, Marcus Rashford, bless him, champion for vulnerable children, got a, you know, school meal for our kids. What about the rest of that child's life? For the same price as a school meal for one day, you can transform the child's life forevermore. The first 5 years have everything to do with how the next 80 plus turn out. You know, this is an outrage. We have to do it. We have created an amazing new version of Think Equal for households and for homes, and we're about to launch it. And I must just mention that because parents who want this for their children at home can immediately, within a week, it's going to be out there on our website. They'll carry news of it, www.thinkequal.org. And it is called EQ-licious. And we've created animations of our storybooks. Plus, they get 12. They get 12 books to read to the children, plus these 12 beautiful animations read by Olivia Coleman and Emma Thompson and Susan Sarandon and Stephen Fry, Richard E. Grant. I could go on and on. Amazing. David Oyelowo, Sophie Okonedo, Noma Demuzueno, etc. So this is a way parents can get started on these amazing equalizers, if you like, of programs at home. 60 activities that are fun, that are just 10 minutes for five times a week based on each of the books, or you can take longer, but at least get the kids started for their well-being, for their future happiness and prosperity and success. Also, academic performance goes up by 17% when children are taught social-emotional learning in their early years.
Oh, yes.
You know that. There's so much proof of this. What are we playing at? Let us just demand this of our government.
So, just in terms of what you'd like from us, so how do we help you?
No one ever asks me
to share this out.
I say that again. I'm so I was just so moved because people don't usually ask that. You're such a gorgeous human being to have said, "What would you like us to do?" I mean, thank you for asking. And now tell me, what was the last part of what you said?
Well, what would you like us to do? I mean, we currently have 39 nurseries. You can be assured that I will get this into every one of them. We have 4,500 parents, and so we could help you with that. But I'm part of a network of, you know, early years people, and people working in early years are really good people. They want to do the best for their children, and so would you like us to share this on a blog? Would you like, how can we help?
Well, first of all, I would love all of those early years teachers and parents to go online and see our free resources. When COVID hit, we thought, look, immediately we've got to give resources to the parents and the family and the children at home because they're not going into the classrooms. So that's when we created this book about COVID called Rainbows in Windows with the World Health Organization. And we've put all that for free online. It's all there. Go to our website, get those materials, and get started with those free resources. You can go in as a teacher, or you can go in as a parent. You just put in your email ID and you will get them sent automatically for free. Now, over and above that, I beg the early years teachers, I know you know that actually the future of this world lies in your hands, because you are at the coalface. You are at the cutting edge of where we can change mindset, and that's the only way we're going to make any progress. You know, Nelson Mandela said, didn't he, that no child is born hating another human being because of the color of his skin, his religion, his gender, any other factor. A child has to be taught to hate, and we've been teaching our children to hate. And if he can be taught to hate, he can be taught to love. So demand, please join us in a movement, because Think Equal is both a movement with advocacy and a program. Bring this program into your classrooms. Go to your local businesses and say, we ask you please to sponsor us, unless you have the money. It's cheap, as I said. It's £220 for one massive kit. We were with you for a year, holding your hand, making sure that you're supported for a year. We give you all the training for as many at your school as you want. We give you a set of materials for each classroom, and that costs £220. It's a one-off cost. You never have to pay anything more again. As I said, it amortizes over 10 years, you know, to a ridiculous amount per child. If you can't afford it, let us know, because we might just have a philanthropist who's just offered us, you know, for the UK. Very unusual, I have to tell you. They mostly offer us for developing countries. But you never know. Contact us. We will do everything we can to reach every child in every classroom and in every home in the world, in every country. I really mean it. And we're getting there. We're getting there. Do you know, I'd just love to celebrate just one thing. See how, you know, it sounds so ambitious, doesn't it, June? And I'm sure people think, oh, yeah, every country, every... Well, look at the Eastern Cape of South Africa. In 2 years, it's taken us 2 years to conclude an agreement with the Eastern Cape government, the Department of Education there. We have just trained 1,800 teachers and HODs over a two-month period. We've been fully funded to bring this program to every single five-year-old in the whole Eastern Cape province. That is 94,000 children. And they're about to start that program. And over 2 years, we're reaching every one of those children. Now, in the Eastern Cape, let me tell you what happens on a Friday night briefly. Children of 13, boys of 13, go out in packs because the socio-cultural norm, the rite of passage to become a man, is you go out in a pack on a Friday night and you find a girl to gang rape, because that is how you become a man. Oh. In 10 years' time, in 8 years' time, that's not a long time away, these kids will be 13 and 15. They are not going to be going out and raping anyone, guaranteed. Imagine how that's a huge number of kids, right? Rajasthan is begging us to bring this in to every Anganwadi, which is early years setting. There are 68,000 of these settings. That's 2.5 million kids. All we're lacking is funding to do that. We have now funded 1,100 of those Anganwadis. We have a lot more to fund. That's all we do, is just try and get in there. So anything anyone can do to either advocate with our government here, which matters a lot to me, because for God's sake, it's my country. I don't want to be helping, you know, so many countries around the world and not make headway in my own country. We've just written a letter to the education minister, Nadeem Zahawi, to Sajid Javid, the health minister, to Rishi Sunak, saying, look at the costs you're going to save. Will we get an answer? I doubt it. We sent it before the 26th of October decision about where they were going to send the next 3 years' worth of money. It's a pittance required, and it is pitiful and pathetic and shameful that we are not doing this for our little children who are suffering, particularly in this time because of COVID. So anything anyone can do, you know, send out the message, find people who can afford to sponsor schools either here or in developing countries, and parents. Parents, go and subscribe to Equilicious, because when you do that, what you pay for that subscription, it's only £49 for this package of 60 activities and 12 books. It's not a lot of money. In the UK, that is a meal for two, really, isn't it? One off. Well, every subscription gives this program to five children in a developing world classroom. Because we are not there to make any money. We are a total not-for-profit. We neither want to nor are allowed to make any money. So everything gets ploughed into, you know, spreading the word. And June, I'm so moved by what you said earlier. I'm hardly, you know, if my sentence structure became sloppy in the last 10 minutes, it's because I can't get out of my head how warm and open and wonderful of you to have said what you said, and about the schools you work with and all of that. I'm very moved, because that's the prime example. That's how we move this forward.
Okay, with people like on that note, we're going to stop right now then. So yes. Thank you for your very passionate podcast. It's I think for anyone, I think you've made it very clear. It's www.thinkequal.com.
Dot org. Yeah. That's very important. It's .org, not .com. Yeah.
So I'm going to do that again. So for anyone listening, it's www.thinkequal.org. Follow the links and start thinking about the theory behind it, the change mechanisms that's embedded in it, and the reasons that we need to support our children in the long term and for the benefit of them, their well-being and their long-term mental health. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a very powerful podcast, and I'm sure we will talk to each other offline as well on this very deep and important matter.
I'm looking forward to that too. And thank you, June, for everything you do.
Thank
together
you.
We'll manage to get this done. We actually will. We're doing it already. Look, you know what you do, what we're doing. It's all very optimistic. Bless you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye, June.
Thank you for joining me today. If you like what you heard, please share it or check us out on our website, leaf.org.uk.